in a series called Twisted, where we intend, or my intention is that we take a Bible verse and we look at how our culture is using it, and then I try and steer it in the right direction and really actually bring it to what it's supposed to say, or what I believe the intent of the verse was to say. So we've been doing that. Last week, it was an awesome time. What did we talk about? Anyone remember? First service did a terrible job, and I don't know why, because I thought it was a great message. Anybody know what we learned last week? That we're you can use this verse out of context. What? Ask anything. We're doing better in this service. I feel better already. Ask anything in Jesus' name and he will do it, right? And I remember last week I talked about how, you know, we're not God. God's God. We're his servant. Amen? And sometimes we can take that verse and turn it on its head, and actually it's misrepresented there. Well, this week is probably, I'll be honest with you, this verse right here is probably the misused verse of the universe. This verse right here gets the crown of misused verses in the Bible. Matter of fact, I'll even go a little bit further, that even people that don't follow Christ and are not Christ followers and don't worship God or anything like that, they know this verse, and they know it because they use it. They use this verse, all right? So in light of that, let's check this out. Here it is. Here's the most misused verse in all the Bible, I believe. Judge not that you will not be judged. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured what? Back to you, all right? How many of you have heard that verse before? All right, now listen, oftentimes in light of that verse, people will oftentimes use it in a way that's amazing to me. And here's the way that verse oftentimes comes out. You can't even say it without some attitude. You can't judge me. Judge not. Don't judge unless you will be judged. Don't you know that? You should not judge. You're a Christian. What's wrong with you? Shouldn't be judging people. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? That's how that verse comes off. And I'll be honest with you. Most Christians, all right, please misunderstand. Most Christians don't know how to properly use this verse in their practical everyday life. They don't really know. So it is my intent today to take the twisted out of it and really allow you to see exactly what it says. Let's first and foremost, let's get something on the table. How many of you have ever been judged before? Come on. I've been judged before. I've been going out of a store and the beeper goes off because the cashier didn't swipe the thing. And everywhere I go, people know Pastor Charlie. And I get annoyed at it because it's like, Pastor Charlie's not stealing stuff. The chick didn't sweep the thing. All right, just for the record. So you feel like this unneeded thing to be overly, you know what I'm saying. And anyway, and oftentimes, and honestly, even throughout my life, I've been judged before. And no one likes to be judged, okay? So let's get that out on the table. This message is not meant to give you a license to judge. Please hear my heart. That is not the purpose of this message. But at the same time, this purpose of this message is to take this verse and untwist it. So in light of that, let's remember that context rules. Anybody remember that? Last week I said it and I'll say it again. You cannot take a Bible verse and just read it or apply it or say it and not read what's around it, because what's around it has everything to do with what actually Jesus is teaching. Amen? All right, so here we go. Look at it. Now we're going to read this, the first part of this chapter in context. Judge not that you not be, help me out, judge. For with the what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now again, secular people will try and say, well, that gives you no right to judge. See, the Bible says so. Let's read the next verse. The next verse. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own? Amen. Listen to it. Or how can you say, your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank that's in your own eye? Watch this. You hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Is everybody tracking with me what Jesus is saying? And I'm going to make it clear here in a minute. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Time out. We just jumped over the river right there, y'all. Okay, now let me back up. Don't interrupt me. Let me just back up. Here we go. Back up. Don't judge, lest you be judged. That's number one. All right, next verse. Why are you worried about the speck in someone else's eye when you got a plank out of yours? You hypocrite. The entire portion of scripture that we are reading has nothing to do with you making a judgment, has everything to do with you judging others in a different manner in which you judge yourself. It has to do with how you're judging, not what you're judging. Say, Pastor Charlie, prove it. I will. Because look, he talks about the plank, yank the plank deal. And then the next thing he says is this: do not give what is holy to dogs. How are you to know who dogs are? Come on. You should make a judgment as to who. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You smell what I'm cooking up here? Listen, do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. In other words, you don't take what is valuable and throw it out there for people to stomp on it. And Jesus clearly calls them dogs and pigs. Dogs and pigs. Lest they trample under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Let me give it in the Charlie Riley version. You take things that are valuable and precious to you that only you may be very, very valuable to you, and you throw it out there you throw your business, you throw your information, you throw this out there in front of other people who don't really care about you. They're gonna judge you, and they're gonna stomp on your stuff, and you shouldn't be sharing that information with them because they're just gonna run you over with it. Come on, anybody ever been done that way? That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about secular humanism, which is what we've interpreted that. I mean, especially in our culture today, especially when you're a pastor, people say, well, you just can't tell me what sin is. Well, that's not what the Bible, judge not. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we can't say what sin is. The Bible says we can absolutely define sin. We can absolutely make judgment as to what is right and what is wrong. We have every right to do that as a child of God. Now, take heed how you judge. Take heed. Let me show you a little bit more of that same context. Matthew chapter 7. We're still in the same chapter, y'all. You ready? Here it is. Look at it right here. Beware of who? False prophets. Is that not a judgment call? Do you have to judge people to understand who is false and who's real? Yeah. Who come in with sheep's clothing, but inwardly they devour and they're ravaging wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Jesus is saying, listen, yo, you need to be a fruit inspector, man. Is that a judgment call? Yeah, absolutely. You've got to be able to judge. You've got to be able to judge. Look at this, same chapter. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And therefore, listen to this, by their fruits you will know them. Listen, you've got to be able to make a judgment as to someone's fruit of their life, whether it's good or bad. Amen. See, we've taken this whole thing of you can't judge, and we've taken it and made it to where tolerance, and in the name of tolerance, we accept anything that everybody says. And here's what that is. That's secular humanism, and here's what it means. It means right and wrong is not defined by absolutes. Okay? Right and wrong is not determined by absolutes. Matter of fact, you can say what's right and wrong in your world, and I can say what's right and wrong in my world. And even though you may think it's okay to steal, but if I don't think it's okay to steal, if I say you're stealing and that's wrong, I'm judging. That's not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible teaches that there are absolutes. There is absolute truth. And it's not secular humanism. It's not you have a truth and I have a truth. The Bible says there's but one truth. And you can base your life on it, all right? So now, just hear me. I'm so thankful I was raised in a home where there was absolute truth. And there was absolute moral right and wrong, right? Listen, there was not only absolute, there was a judgment made. When I took quarters out of my mom's purse without asking, there was a judgment made. And justice was served shortly after. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Absolutely. It was justice, judgment, and all at the same time, praise God. And I'm thankful for it, and I'm thrilled for it. But we've got this thing so backwards in our culture where Johnny, who's 4 years old, wakes up and dresses like a girl, and then we say, you know, is Johnny a boy or a girl? We don't know because we don't want to judge. What, are you kidding me? Look downstairs. It's plain what Johnny is. Hello. That's not judging. Amen, 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 amen. It's all right. All I'm trying to say is, listen, that's not judging. That's not, watch this. That's not what Jesus was talking about here. That's not. It's not. What Jesus was saying is, how can you be a hypocrite like that to judge others by a standard than what you will judge your own self by? I'll get back into that here in just a second. But I just want to prove to you, and again, I'm not, please understand, and with a message like this, I so worry. Hear this pastor's heart. I so worry that you'll take this and use this as a license to judge. That's not my point. But can I tell you, our culture is in a mess because we have got this idea that we can't make moral absolutes. And the Bible is very clear, we can make moral absolutes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen to this. Listen to what the Bible says. It says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Who is that? Okay, I got the front row, which they get paid here. So whoa, what's the deal? They're going to say it anyway. All right, which is who? The Holy Spirit. Deb doesn't get paid. Maybe we should pay you for saying amen. I don't know. All right. Well, I'm sure you'd be for it. All right, here we go. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Watch this. That we might know the things which have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches. In other words, this isn't humanism or man's world, but listen to this. But which the Holy, who? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Look at this next verse. But the natural man, in other words, a carnal man, a man without Jesus, we'll translate it that way, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Watch. Nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. Let me break this down for you. It's saying this. Anybody who's not got the Holy Spirit on the inside of them can read the Bible, and because the Bible is spiritually discerned, a natural person can look at that verse and go, judge not. And they're twisting the verse. But if you'll read it in context, and here's the key, hear me, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what that means and what Jesus is saying, then it's spiritually discerned, and you will get the proper interpretation of the Bible. Come on, amen? Amen. Now watch this, because it's spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, next word, help me, judges. What's he do? Judges. Come on, one more time. He who is spiritual judges all things. Why is that? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you illuminating the scriptures, and you can look at the world and make righteous judgment on what's happening and what should and shouldn't be. That's what the Bible's teaching. Yet he himself rightfully judges no one. And yet why? Because it's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that is making the judgment. All right? My point is, the Bible is very clear that being a spiritual person is part of being a spiritual person is making judgment, making judgment. Let me go a little bit further. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that saints will judge the world? This is talking about when Jesus Christ returns again. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He was actually getting on a church right here. He was saying, hey, come on. Don't you know when Jesus comes back, you're going to judge the world. You're actually going to judge angels. If you don't know that, that's the truth. You're going to judge angels. Now get this. And he says, and you can't judge the smaller things. You can't look around and see what's right and what's wrong. Come on, amen. How many of you know you can? You can, absolutely. Look at this. This is Jesus. Hypocrites. Is that a judgment call? Jesus said it. Come on. He says, you cannot discern the face of the sky. For you can discern the face of the sky on the earth, but how is it that you can't even discern the time? He says, y'all know what Bob Gregory's AccuWeather forecast is saying, but you can't see what's going on around you? It's amazing to me. We laugh, but isn't that about the truth in the culture that we live in today? It is. So is. Look at this next verse. Take heed for yourselves. Jesus again. If your brother sins against you, time out. If I tell them they sinned, I'm judging them. But the Bible is clear. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Well, that's just judging. No, it's not. It's okay to tell someone, hey, listen, what you did was sinful. What you did was wrong. You need to get right in your heart about that. Right? He says, rebuke him, and if he repents, what? Forgive him. Again, don't walk around going, you know, I rebuke you because you this. I rebuke you because you that. I rebuke. Come on. Nobody made you the fourth person of the Godhead. All right? So let's just be careful with going crazy. But the truth of the matter is, that's what the Bible teaches. Look at this. But when he saw many, this is Matthew 3:7. This is John the Baptist. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. Is that a judgment call? Oh, yeah. His ministry grew like crazy. Called him a brood of vipers. Look at this. This is Stephen. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. He went there. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's personal. That's getting real personal right there. You uncircumcised of heart. Mommy, what's circumcision? Don't even ask. You stiff neck and uncircumcised of heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Now, you would think he would stop there. Again, I'm making a judgment call. But then he goes somewhere you should never go. He went there. Your mama and your daddy too. That's what that says. He says, as your fathers did and you do so, the same. I mean, he went there. Your mama and your daddy was stiff neck and hard of hearing, and you are doing the same thing to the Lord. Come on, how many of you know that's a judgment call? That's a judgment call. But the Bible says he was stoned for that, so I'm not saying you should sign up for that, but that's what he did. Look at this. This is the Apostle Paul. He said this, oh, full of deceit and all fraud. Or no, this is Apostle Paul. Yeah, Apostle Paul. He says, oh, full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. He called someone the son of the devil. I mean, that sounds like Waterboy and Bobby Boucher. You know? And people get mad at me because I say, you know, hey, listen, that lifestyle is sinful. Oh, you're just judging. I could break out some of this. Oh, you son of the, come on. You know what I'm saying? That's a judgment call. The Bible is full of men and women of God who made judgments. Look at this. This is Peter. And Peter said to him, your money perishes with you because you have thought that you could get the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Is that a judgment call? Yeah, look at this. Repent, therefore, from this wickedness. I love Peter. If you don't know much about Peter, I love Peter. Because Peter doesn't even tell them that God will forgive him. Watch how he says it. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. He says, you know what? Here's the deal. He goes, you know what? You're wicked of heart. You got a bad heart. And here's the deal. If God forgives you, he might do something in your life. I mean, do you see a little bit of Peter in there still? Hey, but how many of you know that's a judgment call? I could beat you down with Bible verses that talk about judgment, that about rendering judgment. But here's what I'm really ultimately trying to say. You ready? Write this down if you're taking notes. The Bible never states not to judge or correct. Well, you know, we just don't want to judge our kids. or we just don't want to judge this, or we don't, the Bible never says that. The Bible never says. Here's what the Bible does say. You ready? Everybody look at me. Check this out. Take heed how you judge. Take heed how you judge. When you judge, make sure your judgment is right. Make sure how you judge. Let me give you a Bible verse to kind of go along with that, just so you understand exactly what I am trying to say. Look at this. It says, open your mouth and judge. Come on, everybody say it. Righteously, righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Here's another kind of Bible thought to go with you. Think about the Word of God. Does the Word of God make judgment? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible, and is profitable for doctrine, right? For reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So does the Bible make judgment? Absolutely. Is it righteous judgment? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the truth, though. I want to caution you with this thought. You ready? When you have all truth and no grace, you turn people away. When you tell people, hey, you're a sinner, you're a dirtbag, or you're this, or you're that. How many of you know if there's no grace mixed in there, people are put off by it? And things I go to and people I'm around, you know, they're like, well, they need to know they're a sinner. Okay, let me give you a revelation. People know they're sinners. You don't have to tell people when they miss it, man. You don't have to. Oftentimes, if somebody is in a place where they're broken and beat down, you need to give them grace. So please make sure that you understand you're turning people away if you use all truth. Well, they need to know the truth. That's another way for you to say, I just want to get nasty with somebody and tell them what I think. Let's not do that as children of God. No way. How about this one? All grace but no truth leads to a license to sin and do whatever people want. Right? And that's exactly what our culture is thriving on right now. That if you stand up for righteousness, if you stand up for something at all, people get upset and mad. But the truth of the matter is you have to make a judgment on it. Amen? Amen? So here's the deal. We are to judge righteously without hypocrisy. Everybody get that? All right. So now, let me put some, how many of you ever bowled and bowled with kids? Like whenever my kids, we used to have the guardrails put up. Y'all know what I'm saying? The guardrails. Then it's like skee ball. If you're an adult, it's like skee ball. All right. So listen, here's what I want to do with the remainder of the time that I have with you, a couple hours. We got another service. But anyway, here's the truth. What I want to do is kind of put some bumpers up, so that you know where our judgment belongs and doesn't. Because the last thing we want you doing is walking around like the fourth person of the Godhead telling everybody what to do. Okay? So let's really get this to where it needs to be. All right? Number one, if you're taking notes, you should write this one down for sure. Number one, we always start with ourselves. Before we begin to judge, that's what Jesus was talking about when he says, why are you worried about the speck in your eye or speck in your brother's eye when you got a plank sticking out of yours? Make sure whenever you do this, that's exactly what Jesus was saying in Matthew 7. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own? You're going to start with you. Here's the truth. You ready? Check this out. Never apply a standard on someone without you observing the same. Never, 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 never. Oftentimes as a pastor, I get called by parents. And whenever I first made this call years ago, my wife thought it was kind of hard. But people call and say, Pastor Charlie, we want you to meet with our kids. And I would say, why? And they say, well, I think my kids have a demon. I would say, well, all kids have demons. You know, we know that. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, I know your kids are perfect, but that's if you're a grandparent. All right, anyway, here's the truth. You ready? Here's the deal. I would tell Michelle, I said, no, I'm not meeting with kids. I don't meet with kids. I don't. Now, I'll meet with the kid after I meet with the parent. I want to talk to the parent. Because 95% of the time, the kids are responding to the environment and the culture of the home. And I can't fix a child without first talking to the parent and finding out what's going on. Amen, preacher. Amen. Yeah. I say, you give me an hour with the parents and the family. Let me see what their culture is in their home, and then I'll tell you what the problem is. See, because I've had, especially when I first started pastoring, I had people bring their kids into me, and they'd say, you know, he cusses, he yells, he gripes, he this and that and the other, can't get him to do nothing. I asked the little kid, hey, where'd you hear that? Mommy? Daddy? This and that and the other. I learned real quick that kids are responding typically to the environment they're put in. So if I'm really going to fix things, I have to go back and talk to the mom and the dad. Say, why is this so important? Because you'd be amazed at how many parents are like, Johnny just cusses all the time. Can you say something to him, Pastor? And I'll say, yeah, but here's the deal. Why are you applying a standard to your child that you yourself are not willing to observe? See, judge not lest you be judged. That's what Jesus was talking about. You say, but he was talking about someone else. No. Jesus didn't say this excludes your children. Jesus was just saying, listen, why are you worried about the speck in someone else's eye? And you got a plank. Deal with your plank first before you go picking on someone's speck, right? If you really want to do it right, start with you. Start with you. I remember one time whenever Michael was small, and I don't even remember really what happened. I just remember he was at that perfect size. Now, let me explain perfect size. There is a size at which, let me say this. I believe that kids come into their season where they can vocalize certain things, and they come into that season at about the right time where their butt and their back of their head are at that right perfect height. So you can, I mean, if you're quick, you can get like a 1-2 in, you know, but yeah, sometimes you can get just a 1 in. I don't know about you, I'm just saying. All right? So I remember walking up to the house. I don't even remember the event or what caused it, but I do vividly remember what happened. We walked up to the house. I opened the door. Michael was opening the door. And as he opened the door, he got mouthy with his mom. I don't know the culture of your home, but we don't do that at my house. And whenever that happened, well, I know you don't want to judge Johnny. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so Michael got mouthy, and as soon as he did, seriously, it was like instant reflex. Pow! I just popped him on the back of the head, all right? Popped him good, all right? Now, please don't misread this, all right? Michael has a knot on the back of his head now. It's not from me. He fell off of a seat at an airport. That's the bump on his head. That's not for me. Just saying. Okay. But let me say this. I popped him on the back of the head. And I told him, we don't talk like that, Mike. He went in, didn't think much about it. A few minutes later, the Lord started working on my heart. And the Lord said this to me. He said, do you like being disciplined and not knowing what happened? And I said, man, no, Lord, I don't. He goes, not only that, your hands are meant to impart blessing. Your hands are meant to love your children. Your hands are meant for something other than popping them on the back of the head. I said, man, you're so right. Now, the Lord didn't say anything about flip-flops, belts, or anything like that. I'm just saying, hands, right? Just letting everybody know, all right? Okay, listen. Now, listen to me. This is as serious as I can be. Seriously. So I went to him. And I said, Mike, what you did was wrong, son. But what I did in response to it was just as wrong. And for that, I'm sorry. I should never hit you with my hand. You should always know why you're being disciplined, and I should have never done that. And I'm sorry. Will you accept that? He said, yes, of course, you know. And we went on about it. Say, why is that so important? Because I can't expect my now 16-year-old to say sorry to people or even to his mom and dad when he does something wrong, if dad isn't willing to step up and live by the same standard and say sorry when he does something wrong. Come on, amen? I can't apply that. That's a hypocrite. That's not what the Bible's saying. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about making judgment. How dare me make a judgment about him and his activity when I'm not willing to do the same thing as far as saying I'm sorry? So therefore, I can't expect my kids to not cuss if I cuss. I can't expect my kids not to smoke if I smoke. I can't expect my kids to be well-behaved and act civilized if I'm not willing to be well-behaved and civilized. Come on, amen? That's exactly what Jesus, he's not talking about you can't make judgment. He's saying make sure you start with yourself first. Amen? All right, so there's number one. So there's one of the boundaries. We should never accuse others and excuse ourselves. Never. If you're taking notes, write down. Number two, you ready? Never judge by outward appearance. Never. I learned this in the military. In the military, I remember one guy coming into our shop. His name was Ross. He was a redneck from New York, which I thought was an oxymoron. I didn't know there were rednecks from New York. I had to be clued in. I thought everyone who said they were from New York was from New York City. Well, there's an upstate New York that is absolutely redneck, man. And they are cool people. When he came into our shop, I thought, this guy, we are not going to get along. He turned out to be one of the most phenomenal guys I was ever around. Just an absolute dude. The guy who taught me my Bible, Dex LeMay. Awesome man. And he's black. He's a black dude. He's a black dude, and he's probably one of the most godly, most sincerest men I've ever met in my life. He's a wonderful, awesome man of God, and I just love him. And that's different from the culture that I was raised in. See, God had to do a work in my heart. God should do a work in all of our heart. We should not judge people on their outward appearance. And just to go along with this, I look for a day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content in their of their character. Now, I will tell you this. We've gone so far in the ditch with this that anymore, if you make a judgment on someone's character, you're like wrong. Well, he's lying, cheating, thieving. He ended up in jail. Don't judge them. No, he did it. He did it. Lying, cheating, stealing, ended up in jail. He did it. That's not a judgment. That's reality. Come on, am I right? No, Martin Luther King did not say don't judge. He's saying let's judge based upon the right things, not the wrong things. I remember one time I was in fifth or sixth grade. I don't even remember. And I got a scholarship. I call it that because someone paid my way to go to Basil Mulvey basketball camp during the summer. I was so thrilled. First day there, poor kid, didn't have money to go. And someone paid my way. I'm so excited. I get there. First thing, one of the coaches that was a teacher also, walked by. And out of all the kids there, hundreds of kids, he picked on me because I had old worn out shoes on. And I thought, you dirtbag. I did. I thought, that's low. I'm a poor kid. Wait, listen, let me explain my family. We buy shoes at the beginning of the school year. Summertime, you don't buy no new shoes. Why? Well, I'm going to tear them up anyway. Come on, you might know what I'm saying? And I just, still to this day, I'm a little torqued about it. I can't wait to see that guy. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But my point is, how many of you believe that's wrong? And now, listen, I ended up becoming an all-star at basketball camp. That's my point is this. He judged me before I even dribbled a basketball, before I even played on the court. He was making judgments about me based upon my shoes. No one likes that. Nobody. And here's my point. We as Christians and as believers should never do that to other people. We should not make judgments about people based upon their clothes, their cars, their houses, what they do, what they... Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let's be above that. Amen? This is what Jesus said. He said this, do not judge according to appearance, but judge... But judge with what? Righteous judgment. Here's number three if you're taking notes. Never judge non-Christ followers by Christian standards. Never do that. Never do that. And to some of you, this may be a revelation for you, but it's very important that you understand that as a pastor, I have no right, that God has not called me to walk around and say, you sinners, you this, you that. Even with the whole city council deal, I didn't go in there and say, you lesbians, you homosexuals, you're going to burn in hell. That is not the church's responsibility. Now, before I go any further, let me just explain. God has ordained three institutions in the earth: family, church, and government. Those are all godly institutions. Now watch. The church, if government becomes sinful, wrong, or goes contrary to God's word, the church has a responsibility to stand for what God says. Okay, whether you agree or not, that's the truth. So watch this. The family has a responsibility to keep the church in check. And the church has a responsibility to keep government in check. That's the way God designed it to work. Now, everybody look at me and check this out. So as a church leader, we have the right to call out sin if it's in our government or whatever. all right, or ungodliness or whatever it might be. But we have no right to walk around and pick at people's sin or how they're living their lifestyle, especially if they're unsaved.
Yes, that's right.
Especially. Let me show you an example, because I know some of you are like, I just don't know if that's the Bible. All right, I'm going to work it out with you. I wrote to you in my epistles, this is the Apostle Paul. I write to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Now watch what he says. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. He's saying, listen, you are in a sinful world and there are sinners all around you. And I'm not saying don't have contact with them and like isolate yourself and become a monk. You'd have to get away from everybody if you're trying to get away from sinners. Everybody. But now watch. Look at the focus here. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, Christian, who is sexually immoral, covetous, idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or extortioner, or not even to eat with such a person. Why? For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? I don't have a right. Paul, the Apostle Paul, not Pastor Charlie, the Apostle Paul said, I don't have a right to walk around and make judgments on non-believers. That's not what I do. He says this, do you not judge those who are inside? Absolutely. He says, but those who are outside, who? God judges. So listen to this. If it's inside the church, then as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, I have a right to say, hey, man, that's a sinful lifestyle. You can't be living that way and love God. You just can't be doing that. Or if someone comes up to me, well, I live this way and I'm a Christian. Okay, hold up, time out. Those two don't go together. That's two different worlds. You can't be that and this. That's what fellowship does light have with darkness? It doesn't work that way. Salt and pepper, that doesn't work that way. Come on, y'all. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, y'all, everybody get what I'm saying? But now, to the lost, that's different. To the lost, don't be shocked when sinners sin. Don't be shocked when sinners cuss. Don't be shocked when sinners get drunk, tear up their house. Come on, don't be shocked. What are you supposed to do with them? You're to love them. Now, I didn't say we can't say what they're doing is sinful. I'm saying we don't make judgments about them as people. It's the whole principle of we're going to hate the sin and love the sinner. Absolutely. But even then, we've got to be careful. Let's not cross the line where we start making judgment on people who are not saved. How many of y'all hear what my heart today? All right? Praise God. How are we going to do it? We're going to love them, not judge them when it comes to people outside. Now, last one. Write this one down for sure. The heart of every believer, though, the heart of every believer, even though I've talked all about judgment today, the heart of every believer should be what? To restore people before judging them. That should be our heart. Our heart, I'm leery of anybody who's walking around and just can't wait to judge somebody. I just can't wait to tell them what I think of. No. Your heart, hopefully, prayerfully, if you have a relationship with God, you should walk around going, Lord, how can I give people, watch this, instead of looking down on them, how can I help them up? Yeah. Instead of looking down, making a judgment, how can I lift them up? I want to be a person who lifts people up, not pushes people down. I want to lift them up out of there, wherever they're at. So I'm going to wait to make any type of judgment. And I will say this in closing, listen to this. Even in all the years I've been pastoring and even with the relationships I have with people and all that, I'm very careful when I weigh in on judging something. Very careful. Why? Here's the deal. Everybody look at me. This is very, 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 it could change your life. Is that good? I think. If it's not, don't tell me. Here's the truth. Never judge or make a judgment without a relationship to counterbalance it. I'm always, for example, I have a relationship with my kids so I can weigh in with a judgment easier. But if I barely know someone, I'm going to be careful what I say and how I judge that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I need a relationship with that person before I need to make any judgments about them. Then if they ask me or invite me into their world and they say, Pastor Charlie, what do you think? I was thinking about moving in with my boyfriend the other day. What do you think? Dumb! What are you doing? Stop! Are you a child of God? You believe in the word of God? Yeah. Well, the Bible says not to do that. Well, we're going to live together and not have sex. Okay, let me judge that. Judge that. I got a verse for you. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. How about this? Don't put yourself, how about common sense? Don't put yourself in that situation because y'all going to end up together. Come on, amen? Well, that's judging. No, that's common sense. Common sense. Come on, amen? How many of you today have learned something about judgment that you didn't know before? Praise God. That's all I care about, all right? Give the Lord a big clap. I'm done. Praise God.